We're still waiting for Greg.
Recorded live.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here. And this is, of course, Yahweh's Covenant People. This is Friday, August 28, 2015. Waiting for Greg Howard to call in. Haven't heard anything from him this week. So usually if he's going to miss a show or be late, he will contact me and let me know. So I didn't get anything from Greg on that score. So I'm just going to go ahead and plow into the discussion of 2 Esdras, where I believe we left off at the end of chapter 4, I believe it was. But let me begin with our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Yahweh. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I told you I used to be a Catholic. The Catholic version of the Lord's Prayer just came out. Okay, it looks like, got into chapter 5. And trying to see here, have you forgotten that Israel in exile has been entrusted to your care? Israel in exile, that's the 10 tribes. The two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were still living in Judea, properly called Judah, until around 100 AD, when King John Hyrcanus of Judah defeated the Edomites, took over their territory, but then violated Yahweh's laws by allowing them to become citizens of the Judahite nation. Since he violated the law, what he did was he invited the Jews, the Edomite Jews, to live amongst the Judahites. And that's why the nation began to fall apart. It's just like when we invite Jews into our nations begin to fall apart. It's axiomatic. Whenever Jews come into our countries fall apart. Hold on. Okay, I was hoping that was a message from Greg. Nothing from Greg yet. But here, let me go. That was chapter 5, verse 17. And so let me back up to where, because I remember we discussed this verse, the Dead Sea will cast up fish, and at night a voice will sound unknown to the many, but heard by all. Chasms will open in many places and spurt out in incessant flames. We're talking, this is Judgment Day, obviously. Wild beasts will range far from their haunts. Menstruous women will give birth to monsters. Hey, what is it? CERN. Now, this is strange. If this becomes literally true, now, this would be very strange. It would defy all the known laws of biology, that women who are pregnant would still be menstruating. So something, you know, very off kilter here. Freshwater springs will run with brine, and everywhere friends will make war on one another. And this is exactly what George Washington predicted. As the end days for America, there will be fighting in the streets, hand-to-hand combat in every city and town in America, as America is assaulted by the Jews and their proxies, namely the blacks, the Mexicans, the Orientals, although the Orientals really aren't involved this much in actually killing us, not so much like the blacks and Mexicans are. So they've been imported by the Jews into our countries to kill us, And that's what they're doing. It's genocide going on right now, silent genocide. And they're getting away with murder, quite literally. And the so-called law, so-called injustice system is not doing anything about it. And then understanding will be hidden. That is, everybody will be crazy. They will lose their common sense. They will lose the old truths for new lies. And reason withdraw within her chamber. People are just going to go crazy and not have any common sense anymore. Many will seek her, but not find her. That is reason. The earth will overflow with wickedness and vice. That's what's happening right now. It is overflowing with wickedness and vice. No doubt about it. And, Greg, are you there?
I am, brother. Sorry I'm late. I was not able to log in tonight onto the show. I'm not sure why, but...
Really?
I remember I had the number written down. I found it. I'm calling in and...
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Let me log in. I don't know why.
Okay.
I think it's a conspiracy against...
Yeah, right. What browser are you using? I found that I have to use Google Chrome to access TalkShoe. If I use Internet Explorer or Mozilla Firefox, it doesn't work as well.
I'm using Firefox, and it's
You're using Firefox.
Well,
okay.
Tonight it's not working, and I have no idea why, but...
Okay.
Anyway, sorry I'm late, and I'm here now, and I think we're going to have an amazing show tonight, getting into 2 Esther Chapter 5, which... We're watching the world melt down around us. Right
that's
now.
For sure. I just quoted that verse. Right?
I know, I heard.
Yeah.
I heard. It's melting down. And it will get worse for a while. I think we have to be in the end times. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
Just see how we're not close to the end of this age. We have to be.
Yes, yes. What do you think of what happened in Roanoke, Virginia, where this white lady reporter was murdered on camera? Okay.
I believe it was a false flag. It never happened.
You think so? Okay.
I think it was a manufactured event.
Okay.
I think it was probably no one got shot, and it's just yet one more manufactured event to... whip everyone up into a frenzy to ignite a race war, however you want to spin it.
Yeah.
I would say that it never happened, if that's my guess.
Okay. Well, certainly the spin has already, it's anti-gun spin, right? Anti-Second Amendment spin. We would expect that. And absolutely nothing about potential drug use by the shooter, which I understand he was under the care of a psychiatrist and probably being given drugs. So whenever we see one of these shootings take place, the first thing we have to ask is what's the SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors? What's the common word for those? Antidepressants. Antidepressants. Yeah. Okay.
An antidepressant, a satanically conceived product that essentially gives you a chemical lobotomy when you take it, and you know. How about Hillary's take? Oh, we need more gun control. The problem is not Negroes with
no,
guns. The problem is
right.
guns.
Well, here, I tell you
the
what.
The problem really is Negroes.
I think there's a connection. I think there's a connection here because on Eurofolk Radio, about 3 weeks ago, I posted a speech by Farrakhan where he called upon his people to start killing whites. Okay. And all of a sudden, the violence in the black neighborhoods in Chicago has escalated. We've had like 40, 50 murders every weekend since he made that statement. But it's still blacks killing each other. Yeah. The violence has really escalated.
New York City.
Yeah. It's worse. Chicago is the absolute worst. Yeah. So why don't they take the guns away from the people that are committing the murders? They never do that. They always want to take the guns away from us.
So many guns on this. They never mentioned that 99% of the shootings are made by one particular group, and they all happen to have black skin. You know,
yeah.
That'd be the end of the world to mention that little fact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how often is it really white people shooting up anything?
Right.
Very, very rare.
Now,
It's blacks.
yeah.
Blacks kill you for looking at him wrong.
Right, exactly.
Know,
Well, that's what
blacks
happened to
people
this guy.
black at the bar, he'll shoot you for
Yeah.
disrespecting him. I mean,
Yeah.
it's
He
just
was
how
a
they are.
yeah, he was a mulatto who got fired from his job, and because and then he claimed racism, tried to sue the television station, and then he went bonkers, right? And but he was planning this for a long time. You know, if it was a real
Yeah.
event, he was planning it for a long time. Okay.
He was crazy. There's no
Yeah.
doubt about that. But, you know, another black with a gun killing white people. I mean, you know, spin it however you want. It boils down to blacks with guns kill white people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the press was spinning it as a disgruntled. He was a disgruntled worker.
Yeah.
But he himself wrote that he hated whites. He wanted to kill whites, you know.
Yeah, right. Right. Ethan 24 has got some tongue-in-cheek humor here. Chicago is a rough town, but it has a lot of good places to eat. I've taken you to a few of those good places to eat. I'm sure as long as there's good restaurants in Chicago, the tourists will keep coming. But if they start shooting up those restaurants, then it's over. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, I have no idea why I cannot log into the chat room, but at least I'm on via
Oh,
the
okay.
phone with
Yeah, very good.
you hearing me okay? I'm coming
Yeah,
in all
I'm
right.
hearing you fine. Again, I would say use Google Chrome instead of Mozilla. I found that Google Chrome is the only one that works for me consistently. But in any case, I just quoted chapter 5 because we did go into chapter 5 a little bit. And
Yeah,
then
we
I,
just got started on the
yeah,
first few verses.
right.
And I mean, all of these books, brother, these apocryphal books, Enoch, Baruch, Second Ezra, these books all have one consistent theme:
Yeah.
the end of this age and the ushering in of the coming kingdom age, the age
Right.
of where Jacob will rule this earth instead of the seed of Cain.
Right.
And all of these books have a similar theme, and those, that's what we need to hear right now, because the world is literally a total disaster right now. I
Yeah.
really thought the stock
Total.
market was going to completely melt down this week. I was hoping for it. I
No, they're
wanted to see
just
the Dow go down to 50
right.
points. I wanted to see everybody lose every nickel they have. And let's just get this thing over with. Well,
Yeah. Well, the riots will start when food is no longer delivered, not just to the restaurants, but to the supermarkets. Then you're going to see some real rioting, and it
Oh,
won't
when the
matter. Yeah.
Negro's EBT shuts down, that's when it'll really hit the fan right there.
EBT?
You know,
Was
when
that
the
to you?
Negro,
Look.
yeah, they're, that's the Negro's new electronic food stamp card. You
Oh,
know,
okay. Yeah.
once the Negroes quit getting fed,
Right.
then it'll all, they'll
Did
go
I
crazy.
tell you how they do it in South Africa? They have a truck, kind of we call the trucks that sell food off the back. We call them roach coaches, right? So when the
I
roach
know,
coach,
we
yeah.
call them, the tow main truck.
Tow main truck, okay. So the coffee really is bad. It's usually it's been sitting in the pot for a few hours, right? And the only good thing they sell is fresh fruit, right? That's about the only good thing they sell. Everything else is prepackaged sandwiches that have turned green from being in the truck for a couple of days. Anyway, when the roach coach
Bacon
comes by.
sandwich, yeah.
Yeah, that's when all the workers pile off the construction site and get a coffee and a donut, right? That's pretty much what it's all about. So they have a similar setup in South Africa where only blacks can get welfare. Whites cannot get welfare in South Africa. And so on the back of the truck, there is a little sheet. It's actually a display, a computer display. You put your thumbprint on there. And if the computer recognizes your thumbprint, it spits out a wad of cash, and that's your welfare payment. That's how they do it in South Africa. Okay? But most of these people don't have
Oh,
addresses. They don't have addresses. So they, and they don't have computers. So they have a thumbprint. And that's how it works in South Africa. It's amazing, right? I can see one black killing if his thumbprint no longer works, killing another black and using his thumb and using the other guy's thumb to get a welfare payment. I can see that happening. It's probably happened already. Okay.
So that's in South Africa, huh? That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it works in South Africa. Yeah. A roach coach drives up and you get your welfare check. Okay, so brother, you want to start with verse 1 of chapter 5? Or
I do.
Okay, let's do it then.
Still playing around with trying to log in here. I'm hoping to get into the chat room.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this book of 2 Ezra is such an accurate book for these last days. It's just a hidden book from the rest of the world, and yet somehow we're fortunate enough to find ourselves going through it verse by verse and just trying to milk the truth out of this amazing, prophetical, inspired book that without question should have been included in the, 66-book Bible.
Oh, for
but
sure.
Yahweh had declared that the rest of the world was not worthy of this revelation.
Yeah, and also that prevented the Judeo-preachers and the Jews from tampering with this material.
Yeah, they would have ruined it.
Right.
They would have translated out half the truth. They would have watered it down.
Right.
They would have found a way to destroy it. And yet here we have it in an excellent translation, very accurate, exciting to read. I mean, this is Yahweh speaking to us in the final days, and it's very awesome.
Yeah, I pointed out the connection between George Washington's vision and, of course, the Revelation end time scenario. I mean, it all fits together. And boy, the way things are collapsing, obviously the stock market didn't collapse totally. I think the Rothschilds simply made a bunch of beggars out of investors. They do that periodically.
Here's an observation I made many years ago concerning the stock market when it drops a couple thousand points.
Okay, yeah.
Well, wealth does not ever just disappear. Wealth is simply transferred from one to another.
Exactly.
So in the last week when the stock market dropped a couple thousand points, the Rothschilds and the other, Jewish oligarch-type families on the earth pocketed a few more trillion dollars of our wealth, basically into their wealth, into their pocket. Wealth created like that doesn't just disappear. It's simply transferred into the pockets of those that control the massive Jewish Ponzi scheme known as the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be out of your mind to think the stock market is any kind of a legitimate financial endeavor.
Right.
It's controlled by the Jews.
Right.
And the Jews, anytime it drops huge, the Jews have just decided, let's impoverish the rest of the world a little more while we enrich ourselves. That's what happened in the last week.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was just a little run-up, basically,
right.
Yeah,
and it's, again, it's stealing the wealth of white people, middle-class white people, who are dumb enough to invest in the stock market. It's a Jewish Ponzi scheme.
Right now in the stock market, you're really out of your mind.
Yeah, you are. You're totally out of your mind if you have money in the stock market. Absolutely.
It's a Jewish Ponzi. It's like a Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, right.
The Rothschilds run it. They manipulate.
Right.
If they want it to drop 1,000 points in a day, they can do it. They want it to go up 1,000 points, that can happen. They can take your money anytime they want to take it. So anyway, the context of this chapter 5, shooting back into the last part of chapter 4, Ezra and the angel Uriel are having a discussion, and Ezra is asking the angel, do you think that I will be alive in these final days at the end of this age? I really want to be alive. He says, do you think that I shall live until those days? Or who will be alive in those days? Praise Yahweh. We are that group that Ezra is discussing right there. Who will be alive in those final days, Uriel, the archangel of all revelation? I believe he's talking about us. We're the ones that are alive. He answered me and said, concerning the signs about which you ask me, I can tell you in part, but I was not sent to tell you concerning your life, for I do not know. And I find it comforting that angels do not know everything. Angels do not have the omniscience of Yahweh and Yahshua Christ. You know, the angels clearly said, you know, I don't know how things are going to play out for you, Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I like the fact that angels don't know everything. Obviously,
they're messengers. Yeah. They have a specific task to perform. Yeah.
So, yeah, they have well said. They have a good task to perform. And jumping in and out of chapter 5, it says, now concerning the signs, behold, the days are coming when those who dwell on earth shall be seized with great terror, and the way of proof shall be hidden, and the land shall be barren of faith. We just got to stop right there for a minute. These kind of three separate thoughts. People on earth shall be seized with terror. I personally don't believe this has happened yet. This is coming up.
Yeah, it's starting to happen. It's starting to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw from our studies in Enoch and our studies in Baruch that when the Jews are spontaneously combusted at the judgment, the entire world will be terrified as the Jews are burnt. You know, they literally catch fire and they're burnt up. And the entire world will be terrorized by that. And then he says, how about this statement? The way of truth shall be hidden. What an accurate statement.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Gospels are utterly misunderstood and falsely taught, both by the Jews and by the Judeo-Christians. Right? They teach
right now,
total universalism.
On Sunday, there's countless evangelical shows. There's Joel Osteen. There's Billy Graham. There's Joyce Myers. There's Kenneth Hagin. There's Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
And there's countless other so-called, you know, there's John Hagin. I mean, there's everywhere you turn, there's a quote-unquote Christian message being preached. And yet, this word says the way of truth shall be hidden. Because none of those so-called evangelists are preaching the truth.
They are
preaching a satanically false, lying gospel message. It really isn't a gospel message.
It's a phony gospel. It's the gospel of race mixing and universalism. That's what they teach in a nutshell. And send money to the Jews. That's it.
It's a false message.
Yeah, of course it is.
And, you know, I don't think I'm too bold to say that the way of truth in these final days is Christian identity.
That's right.
While we are much maligned in the press, we are considered haters and racists and Nazis and all the other Jewish supplied labels.
Right.
I believe with all my heart the way of truth in these final days is Christian identity.
Yes.
This is the message of truth. One, this is why it's hated and reviled. And two, this is why very few people are even aware of it.
Right.
Never heard anything about it.
Even Yahshua said, you will be hated for my name's sake. Nobody hates the Judeo-Christians. They're pretty much ignored. We're the ones that are hated, right? We are hated for teaching the truth.
There was a report recently issued in the last few days that I read, released by some think tank of so-called, I don't know what they call themselves. A bunch of professors.
Yeah, right.
Put together this giant report.
Yeah. Hired shills.
And they mentioned by name Christian Identity as a dangerous group within America, potential terrorists, potential homegrown extremists, etc.
Right.
They mentioned Christian Identity by name, and they did not mention any other sect.
Right.
Not that we're a sect. They did not mention any other sect of Christianity at all, but they mentioned by name Christian Identity. And I wasn't the slightest bit surprised by that. I actually would have almost been disappointed if we were not mentioned, because we're hated for knowing the truth and preaching a truthful message,
right?
The true gospel, The gospel is faith in Yahshua Christ and love of your race and understanding that our white, our beautiful Anglo-Saxon white race, we're the elect race on the earth. We're the true chosen people. We're the true 12 tribes of Israel on the earth today. And the Jews hate anyone that preaches that truth because it exposes them. It shines a light upon them that they are the satanic seed of Cain that still exists on the earth. And I love how clear Ezra says it, that in these final days, the way of truth shall be hidden. He doesn't say it won't exist. He's careful how he says it here, and I like this. The way of truth shall be hidden. And we have found the hidden treasure in the field in these final days. Yahweh has shown mercy to the relatives and for us,
the remnant.
Men and women understand what's really going on. I mean, let's face it. Christian identity will never make you a very popular person.
No.
In your family, among a circle of friends, among people you meet. Brother, you start getting into these topics of the exclusivity of the white race and true Christianity and how we are to have nothing to do with the other races and race mixing is a fatal sin.
Right.
And this is a satanic seed line. Boy, watch your friends just drop away from you.
Yeah. Like, right. Your relatives will disown you.
They're not going to be calling you much anymore. No?
Right.
How about that little phrase from Ezra? The way of truth shall be hidden.
Yes.
This is one of the many reasons I love the book of Second Ezra. So true, so accurate, so perfectly worded. The way of truth shall be hidden. The land shall be barren of faith.
Yes.
How true are those words? You know, look at the United States in the last few years. Brother, it is just crumbling for lack of faith.
Yes.
Right now, homosexual marriage is a law of the land in all 50 states.
Yep.
You know, I'm an old school guy, man. I'm 60 years old. When I was young, you saw a couple of homosexuals, and most people hop out of their car and beat the crap out of them.
Right. Right.
They can be married legally in all 50 states. This is where the Jews brought us to this point of just complete immorality and cultural destruction. And I don't think the Jews are done yet with this. They want to take it, you know, to the next level. But where we are now is absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Oh, pedophilia will be legalized next. It's already legalized in the Catholic churches. Not officially, but in fact, right?
Essentially, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's funny how Ezra's statement, he goes, concerning these signs in the final days, those who dwell on earth shall be seized with great terror, and we know that is coming up soon. That has not happened yet. That's coming up. The way of truth shall be hidden. Clearly that is going on right now.
Right.
The land shall be barren of faith. That is obviously going on right now. Even though there are tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of Judaized so-called Christian churches on every corner in every town in the United States, the land is still barren of faith because all of these churches are preaching a false gospel.
Right.
They're preaching, as you said, they are preaching a universal message. Yahshua Christ came to save everything with two legs. Doesn't matter what they are, what their race is, what their color is. God loves all the homosexuals and the sodomites, et cetera. I mean, the message is just straight out of the devil's mouth.
Uh-huh. Right.
The way of truth is clearly hidden. It continues in verse 2. Unrighteousness shall be increased beyond what you yourself see now, Ezra, and beyond what you heard of formerly. So keep in mind, Ezra is living post-flood.
Right.
So the world was bad enough at one point where Yahweh just said, that's it. I'm just going to kill all this satanic angel offspring. My white children have race mixed and mixed beyond what I ever thought would happen. I'm going to kill them all in this little section of the world. The flood was not universal. It was a regional flood, obviously. We should do a show on that sometime, but it's clear the flood was not worldwide.
Yes.
But he's telling Ezra right here, you think it was bad before? Well, guess what, Ezra? It's going to get worse than what you see now, and it's going to be beyond what you heard it happen of formerly. And that's what we have going on today. It's probably as bad now as it's ever been in the history of the world, would be my guess.
Oh, for sure.
The sin, the rebellion, the lack of truth, sodomites, Jewry running the world. I mean, has it ever been worse than right now? I mean, maybe the only thing we have going for us right now is we don't have the sons of the giants and human, you know, white women roaming around cannibalizing us.
Right.
But unfortunately, we have their spirits still here, according
right.
to Enoch. And they've declared war on the seed line, you know, the seed line of the woman, the righteous seed. And this is why war is going on against our people, our race, up until this very moment. We're literally being eradicated from the earth. If it's not a direct attack by a Negro, then it's a slow death by, you know, Jewish-inspired laws.
Right. Yeah, vaccinations.
Vaccinations.
Slow death.
Overrun immigration and 100 other methods. They're literally, it's war being declared upon the 12 tribes of Israel on the earth today, the true Israelites. It's just amazing to see it and yet have some understanding. Most people do not see it. They know things aren't really, really right, but they don't have the enlightenment to see what's going on.
Right.
They're too lost in the falsehoods. You know, Jews are the chosen people. We're the Gentiles, and you know, God loves everybody, so I guess we have to try to let all these Mexicans and Negroes in because Jesus died for them too. And you know, everybody's mind is so messed up right now. Most whites, they don't know up from down anymore.
Yes, and also these words are spoken to Esdras while he's in Jerusalem after the return from Babylon, and he has reestablished the kingdom of Judah. And, you know, where they were segregated from all the surrounding tribes, okay, including the Edomites and the Samaritans. But and the Samaritans at this time were, there was a remnant of Ephraim in Samaria. And in fact, there was a prophecy in Isaiah where two of the tribes would see a great light. And I think that was Asher and one of the other tribes. In other words, they would be on site to actually witness the coming of the Messiah. Those two tribes, members of those two tribes, would actually see him with their own eyes. Okay, so there were Israelites in Samaria, but the vast majority of them were Samaritans of mixed blood. Okay, that's why Jesus told the apostles, don't bother to go to Samaritans, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, and they would have known where they were. Those Benjamites, they were primarily Benjamites, they would have known their kinsmen, okay? They would have known them very easily.
That's one of the most misunderstood and unexplained verses to me in all of Scripture is Matthew 15:24.
Right.
Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right, and he said that to the Canaanite woman. I'm not here for you. I'm here for Israel. Right? Okay.
Yeah, wipe this message on anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right.
I only came to save my lost white sheep.
Yeah, my own kinsman redeemer. Yeah, I came to save my kinsman. Let me read my rendition of verse 2. Wickedness will increase beyond anything you yourself see or have ever heard of. So, you know, here he had just reestablished the law. You know, they actually read the law on the Feast of Tabernacles. He closed the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath. So that wandering traveling salesmen couldn't come into the city and set up shop. They had to remain outside the gates of the city until the Sabbath was over. Okay?
Right.
This was a golden age of the law. He reestablished the law. And here the angel is telling him, everything is going to get so bad, you simply will not be able to imagine how evil the world is going to get. That's what this angel is telling him.
Yeah,
it's a lot for him to bear, right? It's a lot for him to bear.
Yeah. Anyway, brother, these verses are just so perfect. Anyway, he says here, and the land which you see now ruling shall be waste and untrodden, and men shall see it desolate.
Yeah, what is Palestine today? It's a stinking desert. Actually, thanks to the Jews.
For this whole concept of the abomination of desolation.
Right. Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Does ever be any central kind of, the holy people returning to the Holy Land kind of nonsense that your average, stupid-minded white Christian would believe only because they've been taught such a lie that the Jews returning to Israel in 1948 was some kind of great prophetic fulfillment of the holy people returning to the land. It was Satan's crowd returning to set up a criminal world headquarters, as Adolf Hitler pointed out in Mein Kampf. That's all that, he saw what was going on. He saw it clearly that before it even happened, he said if they return to Palestine, it will only be to set up a criminal world headquarters and a place of refuge that they can flee to. How clearly he saw it. And I think this is what this is, verse 3 is referencing. The land which you now see ruling shall be waste and untrodden. Men shall see it desolate. But this is such a great prophetic chapter. He says, but if the Most High grants that you live, you shall see it thrown into confusion after the third period, and the sun shall suddenly shine forth at night, and the moon during the day. Blood shall drip from wood, and the stone shall utter its voice. The people shall be troubled, and the stars shall fall. He's clearly talking about the tumultuous chaos and amazing things that will happen at the end of the age with the return of the Messiah here.
Yes.
He continues in verse 6. One shall reign whom those on earth do not expect. Now, who could that be? I think he's got to be referencing here the return of Yahshua Christ to the
right.
earth instead of his kingdom.
Yes.
I don't know who else he possibly be referring to. Here.
Yeah, let me read. I think it's verse 5. It's the writing is so small. It's verse 5, where you just quoted, trees will drip with blood. Hillary Clinton was famous for decorating her Christmas trees with condoms, and I know that when there's a Christmas celebration in Chicago, the gays will rent halls, and they will turn Christmas trees upside down and have them dripping with blood. Okay? That's what they do. It's at the Metro, which is a big rock palace here near Wrigley Field. The gays routinely rent a hall there every Christmas, and they have upside-down blood-dripping Christmas trees.
I don't even want to know what else goes on.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sexuals together. I don't even want to think about what.
Yeah, well, and then we find out that Hillary grew up speaking Yiddish in her household.
Yeah. it's clear that she probably more than likely is, got Jewish blood.
Oh, yeah, she does. She has Jewish blood, no doubt about it. And Mr. Clinton has Rockefeller blood flowing in his veins.
Which would mean he also is Jewish.
Yes.
Oh, Rockefellers are clearly a Jewish family.
Right, yes.
You know, probably an offshoot of the Rothschild bloodline.
Yeah, they married into a Rothschild
agent family over here in the United States.
Yeah.
I know, brother, this satanic seed line exists all over this earth. They're the ones that really run the earth, that have the trillions and probably quadrillions of dollars worth of wealth tucked away, and probably feel quite secure in their position. And yet their time of turmoil and judgment has got to be approaching soon.
Yeah, oh, man. I can taste
it's
it.
Got to be coming.
Yeah. The gathering of the tares, yeah.
And may Yahweh preserve his elect saints that we may live to see that time and participate in that judgment when those angels come and gather them up. And probably, I personally believe angels will allow us to do some type of aspect of where we're helping them out a little bit. Who knows what, but I think we get to light the fires a little bit. They'll pass us a torch and go, hey, Greg, hey, Eli, how about firing up this little section of the Rothschild Rockefeller family?
Yeah, right.
Be jumping up and going, okay, I'm in. I'm glad to do it, man. Maybe even pour a little gas over them just to help them out.
Yeah, right.
Because one shall reign whom those who dwell on earth do not expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the return of the Messiah for the majority of the earth will come as a shock, as a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to expect it. They're going to hate it when they see it. There's going to be that final rebellion where they rise up to fight against this beautiful white Messiah that comes back. And they realize their end has come. And they're going to fight. They're obviously going to lose. It says, and the sea of Sodom shall cast up fish. And here's another reference to Christ, I think. It says, and one whom the many do not know shall make his voice heard by night, and all shall hear his voice.
Right.
It's got to be another reference to Yahshua Christ coming back and just announcing that the kingdom of Yahweh has now come to the earth.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 24. Yeah, he will come like a lightning bolt, and the lightning bolt will be seen all over the planet. No one will be able to mistake it.
It will be the most dynamic, I lack the words to describe it. It will be an instantaneous worldwide revelation that Son of Yahweh has come to this earth to set up an eternal kingdom here.
Yes.
That will signal the judgment for the vast majority of the earth. You know, it will signal the end of Jewry. It will signal the end of the seed line of Cain. It will signal the beginning of the eternal kingdom of the seed of Jacob. But right now, this is not our kingdom. This is the kingdom right now of Esau.
It's Esau's kingdom. Yes, as prophesied.
Esau. Yeah. Saw rules on the earth, as Isaac prophesied, and yet the kingdom of Jacob will be ushered in very quickly. And Ezra gets into that here in another chapter or two. It's really amazing stuff. I don't want to skip ahead too much. Yeah, I'm actually looking ahead. That comes up in chapter 6, so we'll get to that in a week or so, where the kingdom follows immediately when the end of the kingdom of Esau ends. Kingdom of Jacob is ushered in.
Right.
That transition has got to be very, very close, I would think.
Yeah, it's a new order of the ages, not the new world order of the Jews, but the age of Yahshua and Jacob Israel.
He continues here in verse 8, there shall be chaos also in many places.
Yeah.
How accurate is that? Fire shall often break out. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if all these fires going on right now.
Right.
The
entire Western USA is on fire. Yeah.
I wonder, is this part of that? It's hard to think that it wouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, global warming is real, but it's not based on car exhausts. it's based on cosmic events, and it's Yahweh's judgments. It's coming. They're starting to become fast and furious now. Yeah.
This is actually an outstanding verse. Let me read this in my translation, and then we'll see what yours says. There shall be chaos, also in many places. Fire shall often break out, and the wild beasts shall roam beyond their haunts. Let me paraphrase that last phrase.
Right.
And the wild Negro beasts shall roam beyond their haunts. I wonder if this is talking, I don't think this is talking about lions and tigers and leopards.
Ferguson, Baltimore, and Detroit, and other cities like that.
I'm just talking about wild Negro, you know, beasts of the field that just are roaming beyond where they should be. They actually should all be in Africa.
Right.
If we had any sense at all, we'd have never brought them over. And if we had,
well, we didn't bring them over. The Jews brought them over, and Abraham Lincoln wanted to send them back.
Just like right now, clearly the wild racial beasts are roaming beyond their haunts. And my translation in verse 8 says, "Menstruous women."
Yes.
"Menstruous women shall bring forth monsters." How's verse 8 read in your translation?
Okay, chasms will open in many places and spurt out incessant flames. Wild beasts will range far from their haunts. Menstruous women will give birth to monsters. And I addressed this verse while you were still attempting to call in. And this could be due to artificial insemination. You never know.
I think that's part of it. I think it's just the whole concept of that the natural birth process of,
has been
a white man and a white woman coming together and producing a
right.
And white child.
Naturally, having children naturally, right? Well, that's feminism. Feminism wants to, you know, banish men, right?
Lesbians going to the sperm bank.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like to have the seed of a, let's see, we need a PhD. He has to be liberal-minded, vegan, of course. We're not particular about the race.
Are you talking about the donor or the doctor?
Pasteur method. I mean,
right.
this is what happens when Jews run the world. We
That's
have
right.
insanity among reproduction. You know, menstruous women are bringing forth monsters. Monsters is the word.
Right.
Does your translation say monsters? It's
we'll give birth to monsters. Yeah.
Monsters. This is what happens when the divine way of reproduction is perverted.
Right.
And you have sperm and in vitro fertilization and lesbians being able to have children. I mean, you have this insane, satanic type of reproduction, probably not unlike the early fallen angel hybrid race mixing type
right.
of behavior that Enoch discusses, that Jasher and Jubilees references, that it's just a complete departure from the divine order of a man and a woman coming together and producing a child by Yahweh's method.
Yeah, perversion reigns. Perversion reigns, no doubt about it. Yeah.
And, no wonder Yahweh, or the angel said that to Ezra, unrighteousness shall be increased beyond what you yourself see.
Yes.
And beyond what you heard of formerly. So at the
Things
end of the
he,
day,
right.
we have insanity right now.
Things he could not imagine. Right.
Yeah, exactly. We have men getting married to each other, really? Women being married to each other?
Right. And adopting boys to molest. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
This is menstruous women bringing forth monsters in the final days. The divine way that our Creator Yahweh has set up on the earth has been profoundly upended and perverted. And
well, we know they're cloning people. which means that they're making copies of somebody, right? And how do you know a person is a clone? Well, he looks just like the person he was cloned from, right? They're doing these things. I don't know what they're using these people for.
My opinion here. I believe this is a lot of this type of knowledge is probably knowledge imparted by demonic spirits.
Oh yeah.
This certain information on how to manipulate DNA.
Right.
Perhaps even how to make weapons, nuclear weapons. My own opinion. I believe that information was probably given to us by evil spirits, that we would have weapons of destruction of that level.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
These spirits are sent here to destroy and to cause havoc. And boy, you know, giving us knowledge to create nuclear weapons, giving us knowledge to manipulate DNA, to clone human beings. You know, this is all to our own destruction, this type of knowledge.
Yes.
I personally have no doubt this is satanically imparted knowledge.
Oh, for sure. No doubt.
They can use her in verse 9. Oh, and it's brought us to the point now where our women bring forth what the scripture calls monsters.
Yes.
Genetic
monsters. Right. Chimeras.
No doubt capable of salvation, even if they look white.
Yeah.
They've been created in such a perverted way.
Right.
It's unlike to have the spirit breath of Yahweh breathed into them. I don't see how it could be possible.
Right. Right.
Adam and Eve didn't go to a sperm bank and use a turkey baster, and Eve was impregnated.
Right.
When they gave Abel Seth, this was Yahweh's plan, and this was the child that carried the spirit breath of Yahweh that was able to continue on a holy seed line. And none of this nonsense that goes on today results in monsters.
Right. Well, they're probably experimenting, you know, by implanting the genetic material of various animals inside the womb of women. Certainly against their will. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if they can abort millions of babies every year, why can't they do these kinds of experiments? You know, they have no respect for life.
They're out there that would feel the need to do such a thing.
Right.
You know, it continues here, verse 9, and salt waters shall be found in the sweet, and all friends shall conquer one another. Then shall reason hide itself, and wisdom shall withdraw into its chamber. Beautiful, poetic, super accurate language describing such a degraded age. I mean, let's just start with this. Salt water shall be found in the sweet.
Let me read my translation. Fresh water springs will run with brine. Fracking, anybody? Fracking? That's destroying the aquifer and ruining the freshwater springs.
Fresh water is destroyed by salt.
Yes.
You know, I don't care how thirsty you are.
Oh, yeah.
Salt water will kill you.
Right.
It will literally kill you to drink salt water, no matter how thirsty you are. How about this one? All friends shall conquer one another.
Yeah.
What does that make you think of?
Well, brother against brother. You know, Christian identity. In fact, Yahshua even said your main enemies will be those of your own family. So here again.
It makes me think of World War I and World War II.
Oh, yeah, that too, for sure.
Where the Jews manipulated whites into fighting whites and killing tens and tens of millions of us, while the Jews sat back and made billions off of supplying both sides.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And loans for war. Friends shall conquer one another. Then reason shall hide itself. Ugh, how true is that?
Yeah.
Is there any reason left in the world today?
Very little.
Is there any common sense?
Oh, hey, no, but you have to observe people's feelings, right? The politics is based on feelings, not reason. Right?
Tens of thousands of African immigrants find a way to make it to your shores. Oh, well, you must adopt them into your country.
Right.
You know, you must support them with food and shelter and clothing, you know, because
right.
they're here. And we, you know, reason shall hide itself. White
yeah.
nations are destroying themselves. Jews have corrupted all clear thinking in the last few decades. Wisdom shall withdraw into its chamber. Isn't that amazing? Beautiful language that's so accurate. Brother,
yeah.
this is the word of God we're reading here. Ezra is just nailing our situation right now. Is there any wisdom left in the world today?
No.
A little bit.
No.
A little bit in Christian identity. Not
right.
much anywhere else that I can see. Wisdom has
yeah.
clearly withdrawn into its chamber. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
It says in verse 10, it shall be sought by many, but shall not be found, and unrighteousness and unrestraint shall increase on earth. Is he all over the truth? Is he nailing it? Is he hitting that out of the park here?
Right.
He is describing our time right now to perfection. Unrighteousness and unrestraint shall increase on earth. But it's just so perfectly stated. He continues in verse chapter 5, verse 11. One country shall ask its neighbor, has righteousness or anyone who does right passed through you? And it will answer, no. How
right.
does that read, verse 11, in your translation?
Okay, one country will ask another, has justice in action ever passed your way? And the answer will be no. Well, you look at every country on the face of the earth, and they've all been totally corrupted by Jews. And therefore, there is no justice.
Is there a righteous white nation left on the planet today?
No,
there's
absolutely not. Not even
there
close.
Were, would have come under the Jews' targeting decades
right.
ago, and it would have been
right.
infiltrated and destroyed and immigrated and legislated and everything else
no.
until the whites was literally laying on the ground begging to be allowed to live.
Right.
Almost are here now.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to get
well,
that far with me.
Yeah. I'm just saying if there's any vestige of white pride or white unity in any part of the world, the Jews will just unleash an attack upon it. They're relentless. White unity, white love of whites for their own kind must not be tolerated, according to them.
Yes.
Many nations
yeah.
shows any kind of nationalism toward the white race.
Right.
That must be slapped down with the utmost severity.
Right, right. Yeah, so this is very accurate. Certainly in our time, there is not a single nation on the face of the earth that practices justice. They're all corrupt. And that goes for the Muslim nations, too, because their imams are just as bad as rabbis.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as bad as rabbis.
Continues here in verse 12. He is describing our current moment perfectly.
Yeah.
Which I would expect him to, because he wrote this book for us. So why would it not describe our time perfectly?
Right.
Says, and at that time, men shall hope, but not obtain. They shall labor, but their ways shall not prosper.
Oh, well, he's saying there won't be any hope and there won't be any change. Right? He's anticipating
yeah.
Obama's slogan. Right? Mr. Hope and Change.
Because
but their hope will
the
be in vain.
These are the signs which I am permitted to tell you. And if you pray again and weep as you do now and fast for 7 days, you shall hear yet greater things than these.
You mean it
then
gets worse? is that a warning that it's going to get even worse?
Yeah, but you know Ezra is going to immediately follow up on this because he's
yeah.
a man of Yahweh.
Right.
says, "Then I awoke and my body shuddered violently, and my soul was so troubled that it fainted. But the angel who had come and talked with me held me and strengthened me and set me on my feet." It's very touching.
Yeah.
Imagine this angel not just talking to Ezra, but holding him and strengthening him. I think I'd sign up for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Better than crutches, right? Okay. Oh, Trump's motto is change, I hear. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah.
Go ahead. Now on the second night, Baltiel, a chief of the people, came to me and said, "Where have you been? And why is your face so?"
Right.
"Do you not know that Israel has
Your mascara is running." Right? What's the matter with you? You look like a you look like he went through the ringer, right? And he has. Certainly emotionally he's gone through the ringer.
He says, "Do you not know that Israel has been entrusted to you, Ezra, in the land of their
exile?" You're forgetting about us.
Clearly, clearly Ezra was the prophet of the time, of the moment.
Yes.
He was. You wanted to hear the word of Yahweh back then in that area, you went to Ezra. Ezra was the man, no question.
Right.
He says, "Where have you been, and why is your face sad? Or do you not know that Israel has been entrusted to you in the land of their exile? Rise, therefore, and eat some bread, so that you may not forsake us, like a shepherd who leaves his flock in the power of cruel wolves." And I said to him, "Depart from me, and do not come near me for 7 days, and then you may come to me." He heard what I said and left. So clearly Ezra's paying heed to what the angel said.
Right.
So you need to fast for a week and set apart a week and fast and pray and seek Yahweh's face to see more. It says here in verse 20, "So I fasted 7 days, mourning and weeping, as Uriel the angel had commanded me. And after 7 days, the thoughts of my heart were very grievous to me. Then my soul recovered the spirit of understanding, and I began once more to speak words in the presence of the Most High." Then he prays an outstanding prayer. I'm just going to read through it. "And I said, O Sovereign Lord, from every forest of the earth and from all its trees, thou hast chosen one vine." Praise Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So beautifully exclusive here. "And from all the lands of the world, thou hast chosen for thyself one region. And from all the flowers of the world, thou hast chosen for thyself one lily."
And what color is a lily? It's white.
"And from all the depths of the sea, thou hast filled for thyself one river. And from all the cities that have been built, thou hast consecrated Zion for thyself. And from all the birds that have been created, thou hast named for thyself one dove. And from all the flocks that have been made, thou hast provided for thyself one sheep. And from all the multitude of peoples, thou hast gotten for thyself one people. And to this people, whom thou hast loved, thou hast given the law, which is approved by all. And now, O Yahweh, why hast thou given over the one to the many, and dishonored the one root beyond the others, and scattered thine only one among the many? And those who opposed thy promises have trodden down those who have believed thy covenants. If thou dost really hate thy people, they should be punished at thy own hands." I have spoken these words. The angel who had come to me on a previous night was sent to me. Brother, this is one of the greatest little passages of exclusivity of a particular group of people that I've ever read.
Well, the law was given only to Israel and to no other people. And the new covenant was promised to the house of Judah, house of Israel, and no other people. So, Ezra's exclusivity reflects the scriptures themselves. But people don't pay attention to the exclusive passages. Let me read verse 27 from my translation here. Out of all
Okay.
the countless nations, you have adopted one for your own, and to this chosen people, you have given a law approved above all others. Okay, namely the law given to us was approved above all other laws, and the laws of other nations is what the intention here. Read yours again, because the wording was quite different in yours.
Verse
Verse 27,
27.
yes.
And from all the multitude of peoples, thou hast gotten for thyself one people, and to this people, whom thou hast loved, thou hast given the law which is approved by all.
Okay, which is approved by all. That translator said the law is approved by all, but that's not necessarily the case. Other nations don't approve of our law. Most of them could care less, right? So there's a bit of a conflict in the translation here. But if the basic sense is very exclusive in either case. Okay.
Yeah, he's making it very clear here that
Yeah.
Yahweh has chosen one singular racial group upon
Right,
the earth,
right.
and it's obvious that that group is us, the white race. You know, it's not the Jews. They're a false group, and Yahshua Christ prophesied that in Revelation, you know, that there'd
Yeah.
be a group that themselves, Jews,
Right.
but they're the synagogue,
And
and.
yeah, and
It's pretty,
verse
yeah, we are the group here. We're the chosen group.
There's no doubt. And on verse 29, it says here, those who reject your promises have trampled on the people who put their trust in your covenants. And of course, that can only be Israelites that are being trampled upon. And you look at the world today, it's white Israel that is being trampled upon. Everybody else is trampling on us, not vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, these verses are a complete validation of Christian identity to
That's
me. When
right.
I look at this and I understand that all of the revelation of Yahweh, all of the covenants, they're not for everyone. They're only for
Right.
one particular, very racially exclusive group.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not the Jews. It couldn't be anyone other than us. Well, what other group could possibly be it other than
Yeah.
us? It's obvious
Right.
it's us.
Well,
It's
it's
just that
interesting.
for us,
Yeah.
out a different reason.
Yeah, in verse 30, Ezra complains to Yahweh, if you are so deeply displeased with your people, yours should be the hand that punishes them. But we know for a fact that Yahweh uses other nations to punish us. He uses them to punish us as punishment for disobeying him. Right? So
Yeah.
whenever we bring non-whites into our nations, and there's no and the Israelites at large do not object, then he uses those people to punish us, as is happening in America, as is happening in South America. I mean, yeah, well, to some extent, South America, South Africa is what I meant to say, Europe, etc. Wherever we allow
Right now.
non-whites to come into our nations, those people are punishing us. Muslims in Britain and France, and Denmark and Sweden, okay. Turks and Germany. Oh, well, one interesting thing, though, is the Germans are beginning to fight back. They've imported nearly 100, 800,000 blacks into Germany in the last year or so. What's
Yeah, I've been
happening
reading about that.
now? The Germans are now getting wise to this, and they're burning down the shelters that they're supposed to come into. Okay? So this is becoming violent. White people are starting to fight back. Okay? Because what
Well,
happens.
the Germans are such a great people, probably the cream of the crop of our race, the Germans. And they're just eventually going to wake up to the fact that
Yeah, they're waking up.
enough is enough.
Yeah. Because all that
Enough is
happens is
enough.
when these blacks get imported into German communities, they commit crimes, they commit rapes, they commit robberies. They don't know the language, so what kind of job are they going to get? It's asinine.
They're predisposed genetically to live in a low, animalistic, white-hating way. They hate us. We could feed them, clothe them, give them a house. They're still going to hate us because they look at us and there's just a genetic hatred there. They hate us.
Yeah.
There can never be positive integration of them
and
us.
Greg, I have never heard one black person get up publicly and thank the northern whites for ending slavery on their behalf. Never once have I heard a black person show any kind of gratitude for that.
Yeah.
So it just shows you're absolutely right. They hate us, and Farrakhan instructs his people to go out and start killing us.
Yeah,
you know, he wouldn't have a building; he'd still be living in the jungles of Africa. He's got a very posh area on the south side of Chicago, actually quite near where Obama lives.
Right.
Yeah. There's no such residences in Africa except ones built by white people. So, yeah, total ingratitude. Total.
Now you can never do enough for blacks. They're never set up.
Always, just like Jews, will always want more. Right? Okay,
where
were we?
So the angel is saying here to him, he says, "Listen to me, Ezra. I will instruct you. Pay attention to me, and I will tell you more." And I said, "Speak, my lord." And he said to me, "Are you greatly disturbed in mind over Israel? Or do you love him," meaning Israel, "more than his maker does?" So whatever doubt about Ezra's prayer, like who he was talking about there, the angel says, "Are you disturbed in your mind over Israel?" So it's obvious that Ezra's prayer was discussing the Israelites, the true Israelites.
Right.
Which is a racially singular, cohesive, single-race group.
Yeah. Now, remember, this episode is very similar to what Moses went through with the rebellious Israelites. Okay? And Moses actually pleaded to Yahweh not to kill off the Israelites, because Yahweh could have started all over. Right?
That's right. Yeah,
he could have started all over.
Moses interceded.
Moses interceded on our behalf. Thank you, Moses. Okay. But Ezra is also just as distraught as Moses was.
Yeah, maybe a little caught up in the moment, and who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
In the degradation all around him, and he's interceding for his people. And the angel says, "Do you love Israel? You think you love Israel more than his maker does?" And verse 34, he says, "And I said, no, my Lord, but because of my grief, I have spoken. For every hour I suffer agonies of heart while I strive to understand the way of the Most High and to search out part of His judgment."
Try to understand the ways of the Most High. How many so-called Christians today even attempt to understand Yahweh?
They just warm a pew and
pew warmer, bench warmers. Yeah. They're church bench warmers. Right.
Yeah.
They don't take the scripture seriously.
No, they really don't.
They don't.
I think they do, but they don't. Because once in a while when you run into them and you give them a little nugget of truth, a little fact of Yahweh's race on the earth is the white race, and the Jews are a satanic seed, you can see their just scales come over their eyes and they get hard.
Right, exactly.
And they hate you for saying it. Yeah. You know?
For speaking the truth, yes.
They hear the truth and they reject it. He continues here. And he said to me, "You cannot." And I said, "Why not, my Lord? Why then was I born? But why did not my mother's womb become my grave?" That's kind of dramatic.
Yeah, right.
"And I might not see the travail of Jacob and the exhaustion of the people of Israel." But you get a sense here of the heart of Ezra.
Yes. He truly loves his people.
He was a priest.
Yeah.
You know, he was of the line of Aaron. He was a Levitical priest. And you can see his heart at work here. He's brokenhearted, degradation of the Israelites in this situation.
Amen.
Why then was I born? Why did not my mother's womb become my grave, that I might not see the travail of Jacob and the exhaustion of the people of Israel? He said to me, count up for me those who have not yet come, and gather for me the scattered raindrops, and make the withered flowers bloom again for me. Open for me the closed chambers, and bring forth for me the winds shut up in them. Or show me the picture of a voice, and then I will explain to you the travail that you ask to understand. And I said, O sovereign Lord, who is able to know these things except he whose dwelling is not with men? As for me, I am without wisdom, and how can I speak concerning the things which thou hast asked me? He said to me, just as you cannot do one of the things that were mentioned, so you cannot discover my judgment or the goal of the love that I have promised my people.
Wow. Yeah, he still loves us, in case anybody had any doubt. But a truly good father chastises his children when they misbehave. That's still love, and that's real love.
And let's face it, we get overwhelmed with the degradation that is surrounding us today, do we not?
As is Ezra. He's very distraught about this.
See the degradation. We see where we cannot even meet as Israelites without fear of being attacked, or physically, literally, attacked by, you know, white-hating lunatics.
And self-hating whites. Yeah.
And say, hey, we're going to meet with 300 or 400 Christian Identity brothers and sisters in Chicago. We're going to run out an auditorium.
Yeah.
We're going to have a 3-day fellowship meeting with some, you know, nice food and fellowship, and we advertise it. Can you imagine what would happen?
Well, it's illegal. It's illegal for whites to have an exclusively white meeting, right?
I don't think we could do it legally, but let's say we were able to do it. I don't think the other groups would allow us to do it.
If they knew about it, they would torch the place before we even got there. Yeah.
You know, this is how crazy the world has become. Yeah. And it's easy for us to get overwhelmed with all of this insane nonsense. And yet I believe he's saying this. Ezra was in the same situation, a little overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Ezra, just as you cannot do one of the things that were mentioned, so you cannot discover my judgment or the goal of the love that I have promised my people. These are very encouraging words to us, because right now, it's very hard to be a white man or a white woman with the knowledge that we have in some ways.
Right.
I can't tell you how I long for face-to-face fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christian Identity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's almost impossible to have it, and anything more than two or three of us gathering together and we don't tell anybody else, we'll be attacked. We might be arrested.
Yes.
Be on the news. White supremacist meeting broken up in
Chicago. Right. Right.
Homegrown extremists meeting today. Christian Identity. Let's go to Mark Potok at the Southern Poverty Law Center to have him analyze what's going on.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you have to say about it? You know, I mean, this is where the world is. It's insanity right now. It's crazy.
Well, Jews, blacks, Orientals, Mexicans have segregated meetings all the time.
Oh, yeah. They're
all
encouraged
the time.
To have them.
Yeah.
We're not allowed. They're encouraged.
Yeah.
We probably end up paying for their meeting halls when they meet.
Yeah. Yeah.
He continued, 41, and I said, yet behold, O Yahweh, thou dost have charge of us who are alive at the end. But what will those do who were before us, or we, or those who come after us? He said to me, I shall liken my judgment to a circle, just as for those who are last. I think he means last who are alive at the end of the age.
Right.
Those who are last, there is no slowness. so for those who are first, there is no haste. Then I answered and said, couldst thou not have created at one time those who are and those who will be, that thou mightest show thy judgment the sooner? Like, can't you get all the elect to live at one time?
Yeah.
Can we just get this thing?
Well, let me read my translation here. To this I replied, could you not have made all men, past, present, and future, at one and the same time? What is it? He's asking for a CERN experiment here. It's just compressed time. It's just one quick present with no past and no future. I don't think Ezra knows what he's asking, right? But he's stricken with grief.
Really, yeah. He's impatient to see the end of the age.
Right.
Bring an end to this. Bring in the kingdom. Let's just get it over with, Yahweh. I want to be, and he wants to be alive at the end. He wants to be there
yeah.
to see it.
Yeah.
So he says, can't you get everyone that all the elect that are going to be born, can't you get them all born at once?
Right.
Can't we do this all at once? Says, he replied to me and said, the creation cannot make more haste than the creator. Neither can the world hold at one time those who have been created in it. And I said, how hast thou said to thy servant that thou wilt certainly give life at one time to thy creation? If therefore all creatures will live at one time, and the creation will sustain them, it might even now be able to support all of them present at one time. It's really getting a little crazy.
Well, he's asking a kind of irrational question, but it's because he's so grief-stricken. He's so concerned with Israel and the suffering of his people Israel that I think you're right. He just wants to get it all over with.
Right, and I
that's
think
why
he's
asking.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
He's referencing back. To what he said in chapter 2, where he had the understanding that the end would not come until all the elect had been born on the earth.
Right.
And he says back here in verse 2, verse 40, he says, take again your full number, O Zion. Conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of the Lord, the number of your children whom you desired, is full.
Right, the remnant.
So Ezra is clear on this matter of it was an exact number of Yahweh's elect that had to be born on the earth and live, and they had to be, chosen, many are called, few are chosen, all these ones that were called and chosen. This list had to be made complete, then the end of the age can happen. So he understood that pretty clearly, but here I think he's just getting a little carried away emotionally, saying,
right,
hurry up this process and have them all born in one generation.
Right, have them all born now so we can get this, bring in the kingdom. Bring it in now, right?
It probably made sense to Ezra.
Yeah.
And then the angel has such the perfect answer. He said to me, ask a woman's womb and say to it, if you bear 10 children, why one after another? Request it, therefore, to produce 10 at one time.
Right,
right. What a perfect answer to Ezra's foolish inquiry.
Yeah.
I'm not calling Ezra foolish. I mean, he was clearly wound up in an insane moment.
Yeah. There was one, I think a lady in... I think there was a lady in Texas who, under the influence of fertility drugs, had 6 sextuplets. I think that's the most ever born at one time. But, obviously, how are you supposed to care for 6 infants all at once? It's an extremely difficult proposition. But, of course, Ezra is speaking from his grief for seeing all the suffering that the Israelites are going through, past, present, and future. And he wants to see an end to it. So do we.
What is the fine answer to Ezra's query?
Yeah.
Ask a woman's womb and say to it, Ezra, if you bear 10 children, why one after another? requested, therefore, to produce 10 at one time. John, it says, of course it cannot, but only each in its own time. He said to me, even so have I given the womb of the earth to those who from time to time are sown in it. For as an infant does not bring forth, and a woman who has become old does not bring forth any longer, so have I organized the world which I created. This is so amazing. So I inquired and said, since thou hast now given me an opportunity, let me speak before thee. Is our mother, of whom thou hast told me, still young? Or is she approaching old age? So he's kind of...
Ooh.
Here, how far along is the age?
Okay.
In terms of getting close to the end of the age, are we in the early stages of the end of the age?
Yeah, I'd say we're near the. I'd say we're near the very end. But I just looked up at the clock, and it's already 9:26. We've only got less than 4 minutes left. So let me just say one thing: the vine verse that you quoted earlier, where he said, "I am the vine." This is a direct quote from Yahshua Messiah, who says, "I am the vine," speaking to Israel. "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Again,
amen.
I mean, if we really wanted to cross-reference every verse spoken here, we would literally have hundreds of cross-references.
Many of these themes are carried out in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul, Gospels, in the Book of Revelation, for sure.
Yes.
John's revelation is straight out of the Second Ezra, several hundred years before John ever saw it. Ezra saw it first.
So we have about five more verses left of chapter 5, but we don't have enough time to do it today. So, next Friday, I will be on the road, so there won't be a show next Friday, unless you want to do it solo. Just let me know. I can set you up, okay?
I'll check in with you this week on that. This is such an excellent chapter of Ezra's burden to bring this age to an end. And is this not the same burden that we have right now?
Absolutely.
And I really do be close to it here.
Yeah.
I just can't see this going on too much longer.
Right. Well, we have to look at
the worldwide dominion then that they do now.
Yeah. We have to look at the rest of the people of our race as drunkards who are killing themselves with delusion, you know, by partaking of all kinds of silly drugs like race mixing and universalism and loving the Jews instead of more than Christ, etc. I mean, they're doing everything wrong. That's how wasted they are. They're wasted is probably the best way to put it. And but they're, as the Bible says, they are drunk but not with wine. They're drunk with false teaching, and they're so deluded they can't see. They can't tell the difference between up and down. That's how thoroughly deluded our people are. And Ezra is seeing this. He's experiencing this, and he's he's so distraught over seeing this vision of his people being so overwhelmed by their own stupidity that he just can't take it. You know, he just can't take it. And I understand. I perfectly understand. Okay. All right. Have to call it a night, folks, because we've got less than a minute left. And tomorrow on Restoration Hour, I'll be continuing the series on Jewish parasitism. And from 3 to 5 Eastern Time, our first episode of One-on-One, Sencha McRae and I will be talking about the Russians and the Khazars. Historically, and we'll be bringing it up to date. The Russians, of course, are Israelites primarily, and Slavs who are of Japheth. But the Khazars are a mongrelized breed of Hittites, Japhethites, and Mongols, and who claim to be Israel. And we're going to show that's a lie. That these Khazars, these Ashkenazi Jews, are not Israelites by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll get into that as well tomorrow, too. All right, Greg, good show. I think we're really showing that Ezra, Second Esdras, belongs in Scripture. But it's actually a good thing that the Judeo preachers and Judeo theologians haven't got their grubby hands on this text. Otherwise, it would probably be indecipherable, just like Paul's epistles have become indecipherable for all the changes they've made. All right. Okay, brother. Thanks for being my co-host again. All right. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Folks, chances are we'll just take a break next Friday, and then we'll be back for sure in 2 weeks from tonight. And we'll be watching events unfold as the world gets crazier and crazier as we speak. Okay. Thank you, Greg. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Praise Yahweh.
All right, praise Yahweh. All right, folks, thanks for listening. See you. For those of you who want to get up early tomorrow morning, Restoration Hour starts at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen from Eurofolk Radio. And then one-on-one will also be, it'll be exclusive to Eurofolk Radio, one-on-one. Okay, take care. See you tomorrow. Good night, and Yahweh bless.
Call recording has been completed.